Praise God. Been a good place to be tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you once again for having us back tonight. And I'm very thankful for my choir. I taught them all how to sing, amen. And I'm very grateful. Miss Joyce said they were having a big old shindig down at the coal miner's lounge, but we talked her into coming with us tonight, and I'm very thankful for that. And that's what I told her. I said, we'll get out of here before they do, so you'll have plenty of time. But I came in here tonight once again with a thought on my heart, and I'm going to go a different direction, I reckon. I have never tried to come to church with just one in the barrel and said, this is what I'm going to do no matter what. I don't believe in putting God in a box, amen. But I do find it interesting that you can go to any church in the world, and you could honestly go to any church throughout any time period, throughout history, and there's one thing that they will all have in common, especially if they're a good Bible-believing church, amen? It is that they are full of troubles and trials and tribulations. That was one of the greatest marks of the early church, is what they went through. And I believe, Brother Philip, that's why they were such an amazing group of Christians, because they went through those things and they got to see what God could do in the midst of all those. Miss Joyce sings a song at our church, and I don't know exactly how it goes, but it goes something like this. I thank you for every time the sun didn't shine. Yeah. You know, if the sun just shined every day and everything was easy, it really wouldn't be that great when God shows up and does wonderful things in our lives. And we were sitting back there, I think about 10 of us, and praying just a little while ago. And it's amazing. You get 10 Christians in a room and you begin to listen to their hearts, and you'll find that there's so many things going on. If you're like me, anytime something happens, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. And my issues are always worse than everybody else's. And no one has ever gone through the valley that I've gone through. And I know Paul went through Euryclodon, but it still wasn't as bad as the storms I go through in my life. But every once in a while, it helps me, Brother John, to hear what other people are going through, because it reminds me that I'm not alone and that God is still able. So with that on my mind tonight, I want to give you something I hope that will encourage you. We heard about Miss Amy last night, and I was telling Brother Kim, I'm very thankful for the Foster family. They have been a big impact in our family, especially Miss Louisa. She comes in twice a month and tutors our children. I'm very thankful for that, amen. Listen, we got role models in this world, and I know there are some people that will be glued to the TV throughout the week watching ball games and superstars. But when my little girl hears we're going, she don't even know what the name of this church is. It's called the Foster's Church. And when she hears that we're going to the Foster's Church, she's getting her Bible bag and getting ready, and she is ready to go to church. Now, whether or not she's going to listen to any of the preaching, I can't tell you that. I'm very thankful that that's the role models that my daughter has chosen to look up to at such a young age. But I want to just be a help to you tonight. And if you don't mind, take your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. And I know that sounds crazy that we're going to try to find help out of Chronicles, because don't nobody ever read these books anyway. But I really just want to tell you something the Lord's done in my life, and maybe it would be a help to you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, and when you get there, if you don't mind, if you're willing and able, let's stand, and we're going to read about 8 verses, and then we'll talk about it and see what the Lord does. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, we're beginning reading there at verse number 1. The Bible says this: After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come to fight, that he was purposed to to fight against Jerusalem. He took counsel with his princes and with his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. Thank God for help in this life, amen. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" And also he strengthened himself and built up a wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired a Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, now don't miss these next two verses. This is where I'm preaching from. He spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that so far in this service you have been glorified and you are pleased with everything that's said and done. And God, now as we come to preach your word, God, help us, Lord, put a hedge of protection around this place. And Lord, it's already been said, God, I pray that not a single person would hear from me tonight, but they would hear from you, Father. God, I know that there are hearts in this room hurting tonight, and there are souls that are burdened. And God, I know we're seeking revival, but what greater way to be revived than to know that we have a God that is for us and on our side, Father. God, I pray that if there would be somebody tonight lost and undone without Jesus, God, I pray that you would convict their hearts and save them. But God, I pray tonight for the church. God, I pray that you would comfort your church, help your people, God. Lord, I pray that you would give them a peace that passes all understanding, Lord. God, give them comfort that only you can. And God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. In our text here, just by way of introduction, we have to understand the setting of what is taking place. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is gathering his men together and they are preparing for battle. And if you were to do a study on this man by the name of Sennacherib, you would find that he was an absolutely evil, wicked human being. His names throughout history were known as that wicked king, and he was known as the king of the four corners of the earth. And this man had an army that was unrivaled and unmatched, and he had, as our text has showed us, he had his eyes set on the people of God, and he is one of the greatest types in your Bible of that enemy that you and I have, that adversary, that old serpent, the devil. And as a Christian tonight, you understand that there is an enemy outside. You don't have an enemy in this room tonight. It's outside this room. He is an enemy that is walking to and fro. The book of Job said that he has been walking to and fro on this earth. Peter said, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And when you think about the enemy that you and I face on a daily basis, can I tell you something about our enemy? He is smarter than you and I are. Now, I know Brother Kim's from Wayne County, so he's probably got a much better education than I have tonight. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is smarter than him and I put together. He's been doing this much longer than you and I have. Not only is he smarter than us, he is also stronger than us. He is strong. The Bible says that he was that anointed cherub. He was, by all accounts, probably the most powerful being God ever created. And when you think about how excited we get sometimes, we say, oh, we're going to take on hell with a squirt gun. You understand that he is far stronger than we could ever fathom in our minds. Even Michael did not want to dispute with him when it came down to it. He's smarter, he's stronger, he is swift
Gemini, the Bible uses this word to describe him. He is a subtle individual. He snuck right into the garden. We talked about the creation of man when God created Adam and Eve. Imagine they looked at their Savior. They looked at their Creator every single day. And in a subtle fashion, he slithered his way right in and said those words, "Yea, hath God said," and took everything from them. He's smarter. He's stronger. He's more subtle. And can I remind you or inform you tonight, he is not scared of us. He is not afraid of you and I tonight. And if we are sitting here looking at this and you take that into account, and you take history's account into mind, we are looking at an individual that is going to war against the greatest power at that moment in time. If you were to go to 2 Kings 19, you don't have to, but you would find that an encampment of Sennacherib's was destroyed of about 185,000 men. And that was just one of his armies. He had multiple. Some say he had, Brother Philip, around 700,000 men trained to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I just want to paint a picture for you very quickly. It's a very mirrored image of what you and I are living with today. Is it all right if I walk around? I can't stand standing behind a pulpit. I'm short. Y'all can't see me anyway. I want to try to paint a picture for you. Imagine as Hezekiah, who's going up against an army with of 185,000 men, but by my Google abilities, I found, Brother Jason, that the southern kingdom had about 185,000 men living in it. 185,000 people in an army of 185,000 marching on them. And as Hezekiah is talking to his men, I could imagine, I've never been to war. I know many of you all in here have, and many of y'all served. And I know that they take young men and they put a gun in their hand and they send them on the other side of the world. And I'm trying to imagine, brother, in my mind, an 18-year-old young Jewish boy with a dart and his shield in his hand as he looks out and sees the greatest power the world has ever seen marching, bloodthirsty, chomping at the bit to destroy God's people. And Hezekiah is looking at his men and he looks up here and there's an army that cannot be defeated, and he cannot go that way and he cannot go that way, and the only way he can go is go forward into that mayhem and chaos. And he looks back at his men knowing they are scared to death and terrified, and this is what he says: they may be bigger, they may be stronger, they may be smarter, they may be more capable, but we got God on our side. And he says this, he says, "Don't worry, boys, we're going to be okay." When you sit and think about this Christian life tonight, there's an awful lot that will get you discouraged and get you worried, but I'm here to tell you tonight, everything is going to be okay. Can I give you three reasons why I know everything's going to be okay? I'll give you these, we'll go get something to eat. Somebody said two for Tuesday at Geno's. Number one, I know I'm going to be okay tonight because of God's sovereignty. Because of God's sovereignty. Look what Hezekiah says. Verse number 7. Be strong and courageous. You know, anytime you see that in your Bible, they're not just throwing, they're saying that because there's a time to be strong and there's a whole lot to be afraid of. You think God was telling Joshua, be strong and courageous? Hey, it's going to be real easy when you get over into the promised land. They aren't real giants. There aren't real tall cities over in Jericho walls. He was saying be strong and be courageous because there's a lot to be afraid of. He was saying be strong and be courageous because there was a lot of things that was going to test the mettle of every man, woman, boy, and girl that walked into that promised land. But Hezekiah, the king here, is saying these words: be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be not dismayed, for the king of Assyria and the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. Yes, sir. That word sovereignty, I like that word. It scares some people, but it's a Bible word. It's a Bible term. God is in control tonight. I know I'm going to be okay because we have a sovereign God. I know that no matter what happens tomorrow, the old songwriter said it like this: I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen when we wake up. I don't know how the dollar is going to do, or how the politics are going to do, or how everything's going to turn out. But I know sitting up high on the right hand of God the Father is His Son who died for me and saved me. And He's still in control tonight.
I know I'm going to be all right because of his sovereignty. You see, God is a providing God. He said, there'd be more with us than with him. Can I remind you of what the Apostle Paul said? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is a man that encountered Jews and encountered being shipwrecked and encountered many, many things, conspirings against his life and prison cells and all that and in between. And he said those wonderful words, if God be for us, he said, as long as God's on my side, I know I'm going to be okay. You see, God's a providing God. God's a promising God. Brother Mark Stroud, he's one of my favorite preachers. He always says this. He says, God never promised you smooth sailing, but he did promise us a safe landing. I heard a new one the other day to go along with it. He said this, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor either. You see, we act like, well, we're saved and now we're sealed, signed, and delivered. Everything ought to be okay and we ought to be able to just scoot through this life like everything. We ought never be sick. We not ever have to go through hard things or troubles or trials or issues of life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. He said, in the very world you're living, in this flesh, you will have trouble. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble tonight. But I'm glad to report to you that God is a promising God. If God be for you, who can be against you? You understand the setting of this. It wasn't too long before this that Hezekiah was told he was going to die. And has anybody else that would be told they're going to die, he didn't even get down on the altar. He turned to the wall, the Bible says, and he began to pray. Before Isaiah even got back out into the Uber, God told Isaiah, you go back down in there, tell Hezekiah he's got 15 more years. You know why he knew that he wasn't going to die, brother? He knew he wasn't going to die because God done promised him he had 15 more years left to go. I don't know exactly the time frame, but he still had some time left on his life. He was not worried. The Bible says that listen, it's a hard verse to easy. Easy verse to preach and a hard one to live, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. I know I'm going to be okay because God is a sovereign God. His promises, his provision. What about his purpose? God has a plan tonight. It is amazing how in the hardest of issues, in the hardest of trials, God uses those. I was going to do it tomorrow night, but I'll give you a little bit more of my testimony. When my wife got saved, at the time, and I'm just being honest, everything I've ever been through is the hardest thing in the world. I'm a little dramatic. But we were going through something, brother, that at the time, it really was the hardest thing our marriage had ever been through. It was tearing us apart. My wife had gotten saved around June, and this was in January of the following year. We got saved about 8 months apart. And I will never forget sitting in a church service. And it must have been a good one because everyone was shouting. They were pitching babies and throwing songbooks and swinging from the chandeliers. I was so mad at God. My life was falling apart. And I'll never forget looking at my wife. We always sat on the left side. We got saved. We moved over to the right side. But she was sitting there, tears flowing down her face with her hands up in the air like that, saying, God, you sure have been good to me. I remember looking at her and thinking, you are so stupid. Why in the world are you sitting there acting like he's taking everything from us? He's destroying our lives. And she just with her hands held up high and tears rolling down her face, just sitting there saying, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was in that moment that I realized. I went home and I began to think, how in the world can she go through what I'm going through and she's got a smile on her face? How is she going through the same thing I'm going through? And those are tears of joy, not tears of sadness. And the Holy Ghost smacked me upside the head and said, it's because she's saved and you're not. Yeah. There's a purpose. I've heard my wife testify about that very moment. She said, I'd do it again and again and again if it meant my husband would get saved. You see, I know I'm going to be okay because of his sovereignty. I'm going to be okay tonight. We're going to be okay tonight because of the scriptures. Because of the scriptures. I want you to notice what he says there. He says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria nor for all the multitude that is with them. For there be more with us than with him. Well, how does he know that tonight? How did he know there was more with him than with Sennacherib?
I have a feeling that he was in his Bible reading plan. He was somewhere over there in 2 Kings chapter number 6 where Elisha and his king were getting ready to go to battle. Elisha prayed and said, I wish you'd open his eyes and let him see. And he prayed and he opened up his eyes. He looked all around. The Bible says that the mountains were full of chariots and there was a whole lot more on their side than on the enemy's side tonight. And keep on reading. Don't miss this. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And don't miss this now. The people rested themselves on the words of a king. Some of y'all will get that in a little bit, amen. But for me right now, I'm going to have myself a time. The king's sitting here talking, and they're sitting there saying, he must know what he's talking about. He must know a little bit more than we do. There was something about this king tonight. He said, I know I'm going to be okay. I think about the scriptures, what they do for me. You know, it's in the scriptures that I find grace. We were talking about that word just a little bit ago, grace. Where would we be, Brother Dean, where'd he go? There he is, he's hiding. Where would we be, Brother Dean, if not for grace? You see, my Bible tells me that over in the book of Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You ought to shout through the roof tonight because you go back about 3,000 years ago, you were not coming boldly to the throne of grace. You were going to another man and slitting a goat's throat and sprinkling some blood. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that temple veil was rent in twain, and now you and I can enter into the presence of a thrice holy God and sit there where we are, as filthy and dirty as we are, and just simply cry out, God, I need your help. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Best way I can reckon that on bottom shelf knowledge, that means that he's sitting up there waiting for you and I to call on his name. You see, the scriptures, and I find grace in it, I find mercy. I read about a weeping prophet, preached for 40 years, and not a soul would listen to him. Not a soul would repent. Nobody would give heed to the preacher's warning. And he tried to quit. He tried to throw in the towel. But over in the book of Lamentations, this is what he said. He said, every single morning, he said, I wake up and roll out of bed. As all that took place yesterday, it's in the past. He said, every single morning, his mercies are new. He said, his compassions fail not, great is thy faithfulness. You see, I find in the scriptures grace, I find mercy, I find peace. We try to find peace in so many different places tonight. I've tried to find it in a bottle. You might find it for a couple hours. I've tried to find it in other things and other avenues, and many people here tonight have, and I know the ministries y'all work in, there's a lot of people searching for peace that this world claims to have tonight, but I promise you and I encourage you and I implore you to look in this thing. You will find a peace that passes all understanding, the kind of peace that when your world's falling apart, you can stand upon the word of God, and no matter what comes by your way, something down in David said it like this. He said, he pulled me up out of the miry clay and put my feet on a rock and established my goings. It says he put a new song in my mouth. Amen. He somehow, no matter what took place in David's life, there was something down on the inside of him singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, there's peace. Can I tell you another story about my wife? She's a spiritual one. I'm not. She wrote this, so I'm just telling you what she said. A few years later, something else came by our way that was even worse than the first time. They don't ever get easier. It always gets worse. And I mean it. My wife really is a spiritual one. She's the one that prays. She's the one that does all that. I'll have to have Pastor Kim take me through Ephesians so we can straighten the ship up. Amen. But there was a time where some things were going on in our life, and we were together, we were in a dark spot. We lived in a little 810 square foot home in Ravenswood, West Virginia, six of us. We had a triple bunk bed in one bedroom, me, Brittany, and Penny in the other. You could never get more than 5 feet away from each other. And I remember Brother John walking into my bedroom, and she was sitting cross-legged on the bed. I'll not sit cross-legged because I'll get stuck. But she was sitting there like this in her Bible. She was crying. And I thought, oh no, what did I do? She's mad at me. She's going to tell me I forgot to take out the trash, or I didn't let the dog out, or I did something wrong. I know I'm in trouble. You know, only guilty conscience people think like that. And she looked up at me, and this is what she said, Pastor. She said, I got it. I said, what's that? She said, I got that peace I've been looking for. She said, let me read you a verse. She grew up Methodist. She can preach the house down, amen. She said, let me read you a verse. She said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. She said, I've been looking in all the wrong places. She said, but I found it tonight. And on that night, God did something in our lives that I never thought he would do. And it wasn't just a couple of weeks after that, we found our way down to Culloden, West Virginia to preach. God put us in a little church, called us to pastor, and flipped my world upside down. I promise you, brother, I was never leaving Jackson County. We had Tractor Supply, McDonald's, and Walmart. I had no reason to ever leave Jackson County. But I found, many times in the scripture, I found grace, mercy, peace, hope. I found joy. Peter called it this, joy unspeakable and full of glory. John said, these things are written unto you that your joy may be full. I'm a bottom shelf preacher tonight. What that means is I got to read those words if I want my joy to be full. You see, I know I'm going to be okay because of his sovereignty. I know I'm going to be okay tonight because of his scriptures. I have a Bible that I can trust. I have a Bible that some people years ago thought it was worth going to a stake for. I have a Bible that people thought it was worth leaving their families and their children. The Bible says this about a man by the name of John Rogers as they stuck him on a pole, impaled him. You can go, it was a gruesome death. They impaled him on a stake and lit his body on fire. And he looked down at his wife and his children and said, I'll see you on the other side. He thought the Word of God was worth going to that for. And I encourage you tonight to understand what you and I have in our hands tonight. It is the Word of God. It is inerrant and infallible and is perfect in every facet, and it can do. Listen, I know, listen to me, Liberty, tonight. Your pastor loves you tonight, but he can't do for you what the Bible can do for you. He can give you words of encouragement, and he can help you, and he can try to motivate you, and he can try to encourage you, but ain't nothing like sitting down with the very words of God and seeing what he has to say for you. You can get in this Bible and find things like, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. You can get in this Bible and find that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can get in this Bible and find where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can find in this Bible the way he said, I will go with you to the end of the world. You can find in this Bible where he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. You can find in this Bible where he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I like what Paul said. He said, the Lord himself, not some angel, not some preacher, not nobody, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves with these words. You say, I know I'm going to be okay because of the scriptures. I know I'm going to be okay because of his sovereignty. Let me tell you a little story. I'm almost done. Last year, August, we went down to a camp meeting down in North Carolina. We drove home and back in August, we got home. 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And Brother John, you know what this is like, rolling in at 2 o'clock in the morning, unloading everything, trying to get in there. We're crazy enough to drive 4 hours of revival and turn around and come back. But we were in getting stuff unloaded, and when you got three boys, it makes life easy because you say, you boys go unload it, and I'm going to go get ready for bed.
And I'm trying to get ready for bed, and I hear, honestly, it kind of sounded like this. I heard something like that. And I'm trying to, we got a baby asleep, and I'm trying to get ready for bed. And I thought these boys were in there fighting. I was ready to go in there and roundhouse all of them. Amen. I was going to drop the elbow on all of them. You all quit fighting. Well, I walked into the bedroom, my boy's bedroom. We had bunk beds at the time, and our youngest boy there, Willie, he was laying in bed, and he was having a seizure. I'd never seen nothing like it, never experienced it. And it went on and it went on. I called, I didn't even know what to do. I called Brittany first. I'm like, do I call 911? And she was like, yes, call 911. And all said and done, he had a massive seizure, lasted about 8 minutes. And it put us on a journey we never expected. And in the last year, we've had it happen to us about 16 times. He'll have these seizures, and for y'all that don't know Willie, he's special tonight. Special to us. And he has these seizures. And it's been reverting his mind. We homeschooled and we pulled him out in first, second grade, and we done conquered multiplication tables, and we done conquered division. We thought we were finally getting somewhere. I'll never forget after a handful of those seizures, Miss Christie, when he couldn't do the multiplication tables anymore. The mind wasn't there to do it. One after the other, we found ourselves 1, 2 o'clock in the morning sitting in an ER room, and they've run so many tests on him. They've had his head in all kinds of different things and ran him through a bunch of different stuff. And if you know anything about these seizures, after 5 minutes, they become deadly. We have to carry this thing. It's a syringe. It's a bottle. It's this thing. You got to suck it out of the bottle with the syringe. You got to take the syringe off. You got to put this nose plug on it. You got to jam it up his nose. Shoot half of it in one nose. Take it out. Shoot it all in the other. You got to do this in a matter of minutes. If not, he could die. And it happened a while back. He had one at the kitchen table. He'd always had him in bed. He'd never had him. And we lost him. He turned gray. And my wife called me panicking and frantic. And they got him back. He's back. Obviously he's back. But I'll never forget sitting in a hospital bed. And I know you all are more spiritual than me. You wouldn't do this. But I was sitting in a hospital room. I said, God, why? I'm pastoring. I'm trying to preach the gospel. Our family's trying to live right. We go to church. I tithe. God, why are you doing this to me? What am I going to do if I lose my baby? What am I going to do without my baby? And of all places, this is where he brought me to, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I thought, you're crazy. And this is what he told me. Hezekiah is sitting here and he's looking at these men and he says, boys, we're going to be okay. We got a sovereign God. The word of God says so. But this might not help you, but it sure helped me. He said, you're going to be okay, son, because you're saved. I know I'm going to be okay tonight because of his sovereignty. I know I'm going to be okay tonight because of the scriptures, but I know I'm going to be okay tonight, Brother Andy, because no matter what happens to me, I know where I'm going. No matter what happens to him, I know where he's going. You see, in my salvation, I have the certainty of it. John said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I don't know a whole lot, amen. I learned last night, forge don't rust. I don't know a whole lot.
I can't do algebra 2. I can't build a house. I told somebody today, I was talking to Brother Buck today, Mr. Joyce. I said, I'm not even allowed to touch anything at the church. I tried to change a thermostat on the wall one time, and I didn't know you're supposed to put the wires exactly back the way they came. So I'm not even allowed to work on anything at the church. I don't know a whole lot tonight, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I, on my way home tonight, I hit a deer and I flip out of that car, or I lay my head down at rest and I do not wake up in the morning, Paul gave me this promise: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It does not matter what happens to Preston Milan on this side. I know what's going to happen on that side. I'm going to be given a glorified body and enter into the presence of my Savior, where I'll spend all of eternity. I know tonight where I'm going. So I've got the certainty of it. I've got confidence in Him. I don't have confidence in myself. I can't get myself there, brother. But Paul said it like this. He said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm persuaded too. I'm persuaded too. He's done got me this far. Why in the world will I start doubting Him now? Hezekiah is looking at his men. Look back with me. He says this. He says, with us, or with Him, is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. You know what I find in that sentence? There's a whole lot of confidence in that. I've called people and asked them to be there before, Miss Susan, and they've not showed up. There's been times I've asked my wife to be somewhere for me, or asked my wife to do something for me, and you know what? Believe it or not, she didn't do it. Now, if she were to say it the other way, I'd do it a whole lot worse than she does. But there's never been a time that I've ever called upon the Lord, and He said, well, wait a little bit. Or got that beep, 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 busy line. I love that dedicatory prayer of Solomon's. We use it many times for revival, and it's one of the greatest verses, I believe, in all the Bible. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I love that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I like the next verse. Anyone ever read the next verse? Because this is what God said. My ears will be intent to the prayers made in this place. Can I say it like this? He is waiting on you to call on Him. I've got confidence. I've got certainty. But here it is. I'm done. With my salvation, I've got contentment. I've got contentment. Because at the end of the day, we talked about it a little bit last night. I don't deserve my family anyway. All I deserve is hell tonight. But here I am with my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All I deserve, David said, he mentioned a place called the lowest hell. My name was written in that place until February 18, 2017, where my name got stripped out of hell and placed on the roll up in heaven. And I know, I am settled, I am secure, I am certain, I know tonight. Can I ask you this, do you know no matter what happens to you, you're going to be okay? Because you can. You can. You can know tonight. I've heard, well, you can't really know. Well, you can't if you don't read your Bible. But if you read your Bible, John puts that word know over and over and over again in 1 John. You can know. Why walk out of here not knowing tonight? As we stand to our feet, can you do "Tis So Sweet, Brother John"? I asked Brittany to do that one. Oh, Miss Chris, you do it. She'd rather have you do it anyway. Amen. You do whatever you want to do. A lot of uncertainty in the world we're living in, but we got a certain God. A lot of things can happen in a moment, but I had a preacher tell it to me like this one time. It's pretty profound. He said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? As they began to play and sing, listen, I know this life ain't easy. I like what the Savior said. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Why don't you come tonight? Whatever you're doing. I know there's a handful of people in here dealing with stuff, so I can only imagine how many more are. Why don't you come give it to God? We're looking for revival.
We got to get this stuff settled before we can really start digging. Sir. Whatever you got, why don't you come give it to God, leave it there, and walk out of here trusting Him. As they sing, as Pastor comes.
137.
Altar's open. You need to come tonight. You come.